This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN today. Start off by saying good evening to Don.
I think of meatballs.
Then I'd like to follow that up by saying good evening to Don.
So I'm Robin Quivers, and now I'm Rhode Island.
Let's see if Michael has anything to say. Good evening, Michael.
Boy, there are a lot of little bugs around here that I don't feel good about.
A lot happened today if you're just tuning in. Don, how you feeling?
What?
Right? I hear you. No doubt. Lot to get to on an NFL Monday. Let's start off with our own Keyshawn Johnson earlier today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin saying he's not ready to give up on Sam Darnold yet.
I'm going to stick with Sam Darnold.
Okay.
And that's just me, though. Because I'm going to hire a new coach that's going to come in, and I'm going to get it right from a coach. If I'm Joe Douglas, I'm going to get it right from a coaching hire. If I got to go get the $10 million khaki guy out of Michigan, that's Jim Harbaugh, obviously.
Yes.
I'm going to go pay that money to get Jim Harbaugh to come get it done, which I know he can as a pro coach. He may not be able to get it done as a college coach, but I have enough belief in Jim Harbaugh as a pro coach. I'm going to get him. I'm going to look at Eric Bieniemy. I'm going to get those type of guys, and I'm going to help fix the quarterback problem rather than go and get Trevor Lawrence and try to figure out who coach going to be and get rid of a guy that we just drafted 3 years ago with the, what was it, the third pick of the
third
draft?
Overall pick.
The third overall pick. No.
I hear him. I hear you, Keyshawn. I don't disagree. If you were forced to make a move right now, you listen, we may not know what we have here in Sam Darnold, but we certainly know more about Sam in a positive way, Don, than we know about Adam Gase. But no matter how you cut it, Don, in the words of the great Joe Girardi, after 2 weeks of the 2020 season, it's not what you want.
It's not what you want. And I thought that was kind of a very interesting interview. I don't know if you felt the same way I did. When Michael asked, you know, who's a leader, the first name he mentioned was Gase. First name he mentioned is head coach. And when I'm thinking, like, when he's dissecting the plays, does Adam have that gift that, you know, got him the job and got the president of the organization fired and got the general manager hired? Like, is he doing it to the players too? When they're looking at film, oh, that was the perfect call, guys. You blew it. Like, so is everything everyone else's fault but his? So where the quarterback of the team, the first guy he says that the leader is the coach.
Are you saying it's like a cult?
Well, that's what it kind of feels like, is that he's got everybody convinced he's the man. He will tell everybody in that room it's all their fault and not his, that you don't know what you're looking at. You're not what you're seeing. Like Michael always brings up that he's playing three-dimensional chess and we're just playing checkers. Like, does he have that convinced? Like, we can't. It's all our fault. This is supposed to be working. He is a genius. We're just screwing it up. Does he have everybody convinced that that's the case, to where the quarterback of the team says, who's the leader on the team? It's Adam. That kind of blew me away when he said that. So he must have the Kevorka on the entire franchise.
Now, as we know, yesterday, Don, some weird things happened in that Jets-Niners game, including a rash of injuries to the 49ers. And their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, spoke today about the injuries and the turf at the stadium, MetLife Stadium.
I mean, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know exactly why it happened, but as far as the feeling that was on the sidelines, it's, you know, I know. I mean, that's as many knee injuries and ankle stuff and people getting caught on a turf as I've ever been a part of. From what I saw, the other team did too. I know our players talked about it the entire game, just how sticky the turf was. And I think that was the first time people played on it, I think. But yeah, it was something our guys were concerned about right away. And the results definitely made that a lot stronger. And unfortunately, it's a place we got to go back to next week.
Now, think about this. The difference between baseball and football. An individual gets suspended in Chapman 3 weeks ago. They're already going to push his suspension to next year because they can't get all the witnesses together, right? A complaint from yesterday. The league was already at MetLife Stadium today to check the turf out. Like immediately.
Wow.
Right? Not tomorrow. Not tonight. Today. Immediately. Complaint, next day, bang, there, cleared it. No issues. Now, whether they're right or wrong, I guess we'll find out. But no hesitation, no, we got to check and see. Oh, well, we're gonna get a report. We'll go to the league. We'll get back to you. They sent a team out today to check the turf.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now, RJ, get some fun game show music ready. Let's play a wacky game called The Worst Injuries of Week 2 2020 NFL Season. It is dreadful. Don, there's a ranking here, okay? Number one, Nick Bosa. They're expecting a torn ACL. Now we stop playing the music. It's horrible news. I'm sorry. But I was being ironic, and now I feel just bad. But Nick Bosa, torn ACL. We just talked about that, okay? Of course, San Francisco also lost Solomon Thomas to a knee injury. But number two, this is according to ESPN, Saquon Barkley, also torn ACL, out for the year. And speaking of which, let's hear from Daniel Jones on how hard it was for him to see his running back go down. Hello. Daniel?
Certainly keeping our thoughts and prayers with him. You know, he's a guy who comes to work every day. I know he'll attack any challenge. You know, we're all here to support him. So, yeah, always tough to see a teammate go down.
The always emotional Daniel Jones. Number three on this list, Christian McCaffrey, Don. The dreaded high ankle sprain. So that was confirmed by MRI today. So the star and very high-paid running back for the Carolina Panthers out several weeks. Drew Lock, sprained AC joint. Bad injury for Drew Lock in Denver. Number five, also in Denver, the wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, torn ACL, updated this afternoon. Jimmy G., number six, a high ankle sprain. We don't know yet. RJ, how long are they? Do they know? They have a date, an expected return yet for Jimmy G, or is it wait and see?
It's probably weeks, most likely. So if you're a Giants fan, I would not expect to see him on Sunday.
Is who, CJ Beathard in next? Who is it?
No, Nick Mullins.
Ah, Mullins. He's Beathard to Jays.
Boy, you miss Alfred Skirback, don't you?
That's exactly what he was thinking. Number seven, Devontae Adams had a hamstring yesterday. Not clear yet whether it's significant. Tavon Young, cornerback in Baltimore, a knee. Great name at number nine, Malik Hooker, safety in Indy. Okay. This one hurt me. Washington football guard Brandon Sheriff, the real anchor of that O-line, went down with a knee as of earlier today, still waiting on the details of that. We said Mostert of the 49ers, Tyrod Taylor, chest injury yesterday. It was just a brutal, brutal day throughout the NFL.
Did you see in Seattle that both Bruce Irwin and Marquise Blair, season-ending surgeries?
Both season-ending.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Don, real quick, let's go over the NFL docket yesterday and see if anything really jumps out to say. We'll go game by game. You tell me if you have anything, or if not, I'll give you something. I didn't spend a ton of time on Bills-Dolphins, 31-28 win for the Bills. Any big takeaways there?
No, I spent zero time in that.
Perfect.
But, you know, it was a competitive game.
The Dolphins are playing more competitive football than I think people would expect. Niners, of course, beat up the Jets. We talked about that ad nauseum. The Steelers game killed me, Don. Seemed like they would cover for most of the afternoon.
Yeah, and that wasn't the case.
And, of course, that late touchdown. Nothing worse than having a team favored around 6 points and they're up 12 late, you know, or 10 late. You know they're giving that up. Then the other game I picked, I was just wrong about the Vikings. They are not good at the football.
They may not be good.
They're bad. I don't know if it's because of Diggs or if Diggs just knew it's over, but it does not look good on both sides of the ball yesterday. I mean, they gave up 28 points to Philip Rivers celebrated his 60th birthday yesterday. And he 60 years old, 28-11 over the Vikings. They never look good. 2 weeks in a row, a safety for Kirk Cousins. Yesterday's didn't even make sense. Don, I don't know if you saw it. Looks like he was completely coming forward and out of the end zone. But either way, not good. I have no idea what the Titans and Jaguars are. You can really never be sure. But it 33-30 win for the Titans over the Jags. Don, what the hell were the Falcons thinking on that onside kick late in the game by the Cowboys?
Was it just the way that it was spinning? Were they afraid that if they tried to pick it up?
No. It looked like, and here's my scorching hot take. To me, how could 4 or 5 different players all confuse the rule and think they had to wait 10 yards? Don, it seemed to me like someone told them beforehand, you got to let it go 10 yards.
Yeah, that's bad coaching. That's why, you know, Quinn, I think, is in a lot of trouble, because if that's the case, that's just bad coaching.
It was crazy. They had 5 players watching the ball, and there were only 2 Cowboys there, but they're like, what are these guys doing?
And as
a result, the Cowboys, but you got to say, Don, and I know people don't want to hear this, that is a huge Cowboys win. They were down big in that game, staring 0-2 right in the face. I mean, they should have been 0-2. Instead, not only are they 1-1, but what a huge win to get momentum-wise. I mean, it completely changes the start of their season.
Well, here's the thing. It's week 2, and it looks like this is going to be a division where you could possibly win it with 9 wins. Philadelphia's a mess. You know, Giants are a work in progress at best.
Yes.
I think the Redskins are maybe a .500 team, so 9-7 might win the division. So you can't get crazy, because even at 0-2, I still would probably pick the Cowboys to win the division.
Correct.
But you're right. Huge, huge deficit, down 9 points late, needing the onside kick, get the game-winning field goal. It was a huge win. And I got to say this, too, and you know I'm no Cowboy lover. I despise the Cowboys like any good Giant fan should. And I'm sure you feel the same as any good Redskin fan would, or Washington football team would.
That's right.
But I feel good for Dak after the Skip Bayless garbage. Like, you know, that pacifies me that the Cowboys won the game, just making Skip look like a complete D.
I agree. It kind of makes you pull a little bit for Dak. Green Bay looking very – Don, we've said, you and I have said last very often – that we thought the Packers were sort of a fugazi 13-3 last year. I'll tell you one thing. They are not a fugazi 2-0 so far. 42-21 over Detroit yesterday in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, you know, pedestrian, 18 of 30, 242 touchdowns, rating of 107. Aaron Jones, we talked about a Lambeau leap. Yeah, he got to have 2 of them. 18 carries for 168 yards. That's a 9.3 average to you and me, Don. And the Packers off and running so far.
They were off to a slow start. Lions scored the first touchdown, and I had that game. That was my 3-point play. So right out of the box, it's 7-0 Lions. I'm like, oh, man. But
and then was it 14-3?
I believe you're right. Because I was, you know, nobody's going to cry for us, Peter. But, you know, putting Jets and Giants both at 1 o'clock, it's so killer. Because I gotta be on both games, right? And I DVR'd both of them, and I rewatched them today just so I knew all the things that went on. But in real time, I'm not just going to not watch one of the two. So I'm bouncing back and forth, which takes away from watching the other games. So I'm kind of a slave to the bottom line, like seeing what the scores are and then flipping from there. So I don't remember specifically. I know it was 7-0, but it was very little in doubt in the second half except for the spread. And,
and by the end of the third quarter,
the Packers just they lit it up from there. And when do we start having a conversation nationally, or at least here in New York, which I'm sure they're having in Detroit right now, about Matt Patricia? And the Giants ended up getting it wrong with Shurmur. But remember how the Giants were killed and, oh, the Patricia doesn't want to go to the Giants. He must know something, that franchise is a mess or whatever. Well, maybe the Giants dodged a bullet there, because maybe he would have went the same route that Shurmur did, because it doesn't look like he's a very good coach. They blew the game against the Bears last week, you know, that non-competitive in the second half against the Packers. So all this, everybody on the Lions bandwagon this year didn't exactly work out.
No, it didn't.
At least so far.
Speaking of
Minnesota being bad, right?
Yeah,
maybe it's going to be the Bears and Packers battling for the top of that division.
Well, that's what it feels like. You could basically assume that right now. You know, Don, I am very curious. Is Andrew Gundling on the line tonight?
Always,
RJ.
He should be always there.
He's doing something apparently.
Having dinner.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't even understand what that could mean, but I believe it. Carson Wentz yesterday, 26 of 43. 242 yards. Don, that's 5 yards per pass. No touchdowns, 2 picks, a rating of 56.5. The Eagles are 0-2. They hosted the Rams and got basically doubled up, 37-19. This comes after blowing a 17-point lead against Washington last week. The Eagles might be... Now listen, as you just said, it's not going to take a world beater to win the NFC East, so who knows? Maybe in November we're talking about a different Eagles team. But this start is very, very much a concern if you're an Eagles fan.
Well, it should be. Now, who knows? Maybe the Cowboys get their act together and run away with the division. I'm just saying, I really don't know how many wins the Giants and Redskins are going to have that it's going to be competitive to win the division. Philadelphia, I think, going into the year, had the best chance of catching Dallas. But you're 0-2. You already have a loss in division. You're 0-2 in the conference. You're now a game behind Dallas.
Let's bring in Andrew Gundling.
Please.
Who I know is slightly despondent on this subject. 26 of 43, 242 and 2 picks. How bad was Wentz yesterday?
Very bad. Very bad. The first interception, so they were down 21-3. They climbed back into the game. It's 21-16. They get down to the 21-yard line, a chance to take the lead, and he throws to, like, his fourth receiver who's in double coverage in the end zone, clearly guarded, and not a guy who's ever going to make a play for you. It was on first down, so you still have, you know, 2 more downs to play with. It was such a bad rookie mistake decision from a quarterback who should not be making rookie mistake decisions anymore. Bad, 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 bad.
How bad was their O-line yesterday? Did they give him any protection?
The O-line was actually very good, which was encouraging. Their D-line generated zero pressure. Jared Goff had all day to throw. And the thing that worries me with the Eagles, the last thing I'll say on them, is that the last 2 years for them since the Super Bowl, they made the playoffs the last 2 seasons, and it's remembered fondly because they had really fun runs in December. But people forget they were 4-6 at one point 2 years ago. They were 5-7 at one point last year, and then they went on these runs. But they are hanging by a thread both of the last 2 seasons. And you just wonder now if Wentz, who was kind of holding it together, if he's playing like this, then that thread is going to snap. And they're not going to be a playoff team. And they're certainly not going to be anywhere near what Dallas is capable of being.
Now, give the Rams credit, right? I mean, the Rams are off to a good start. Maybe they're going to get back to what they were a couple of years ago. So that's still a good football team. And also, can we maybe put to bed, and I was the leader of this, these West Coast teams traveling east playing 1 o'clock games didn't bother San Francisco. Didn't bother the Rams.
The Rams, no.
You know, so maybe that doesn't mean anything anymore. Maybe that's an old school thing. And as RJ said, it reflects in the spread anyway. So I don't think that should be a go-to for anybody making picks anymore.
Well, Andrew, I'm sorry about this.
I know you are. I appreciate it.
You'll get over it.
It's not fair.
No, we know.
The Phillies can still sneak in.
No, because I've had it.
Right. I know. We hear you. The Bucks got a win back there for Tom Brady, 1-1 now. Nothing special, nothing particularly impressive. 31-17 over the Panthers. It was not pretty yesterday, Donald. Kyler Murray embarrassed Washington for the most part. For offensively, Dwayne Haskins does not know how to play two halves of football yet. Both right. weeks he's been decent in the second half. It just there is nothing to get him started in the first. You talk about a lack of weapons. Terry McLaurin is a great receiver. That is the only thing resembling a weapon that Washington has. But you talked about it last week, Don. Kyler Murray is probably right behind Russell Wilson in the MVP conversation, in the entirely too early MVP conversation. He is really hard to stop. Struggles a little bit passing the ball, not as you talked about, not incredibly accurate, but he, accurate enough considering how just filthy a runner he is.
Not bad for a second-year player, and quite the opposite of what we said about the NFC East, that NFC West, Peter. Rams off to a great start. Cardinals off to a great start. You got the defending Super Bowl champions in that division. Seattle.
And the Seahawks. Oh, no, this is the division.
Oh, my.
It's,
maybe
it's 12 dead sexy.
Doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Which is scary because then that means there could be like an 11-5, 12-4 wild card team.
They could put three playoff teams. There could be three playoff teams from the West.
Well, if these injuries begin to pile up, I mean, I guess you give the Giants a chance. They played pretty decently in the second half of some of these games. If,
I mean,
if they were to lose to the
you're
Giants.
You're giving them a very mild chance. Oh, you mean the 49ers this week?
Saying the Giants 49ers, right?
Oh, okay, just this week. Got it, sorry.
Right, so, but then if the Giants were to beat them because of the injury, now you're talking 1-2. You know, you don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole when the champion of that division might lose three times.
It is a really good point. These injuries will be tough on San Francisco.
You heard, if it's weeks for Jimmy G.
And it could be weeks. And then, and Bosa for the season. So, lot to deal with for them.
And I don't have the stats in front of me, but just my Giant feel. I'm sure if Dave Rothenberg's listening, he'd probably text me to confirm. Giants, horrendous against backup quarterbacks in my lifetime. Going back to the Theismann injury.
Stats like that are so weird. The ones you can make zero sense of, but they're just true throughout your entire life.
And it's just a feel, right? I'd have to go back, and that's a tough – I'd have to call Elias. I mean, how do I look that up, like record against backup quarterbacks? But I just have so many like feelings of like quarterbacks that just didn't belong on the field, like beating the Giants in a big spot.
Wrapping up the week here, first of all, we'll go to the Ravens. They're doing what the Ravens do. What a really simple and smart pick the Ravens were yesterday. Why not?
6.5. It was under a touchdown.
6.5. 33-16 over Houston. Lamar Jackson, just the absolute Lamar Jackson line. 18 of 24, 200 yards, a touchdown, rating of 113. He also rushed the ball 16 times for 54 yards. Mark Ingram gave him 55 yards. Not a problem. For Baltimore, and not surprising either. This is going to be a very, very tough team. The division goes through them. Don, and the pick that you all loved of mine, why shouldn't the Chiefs crush the Chargers? Well, just because they didn't. Took overtime, 23-20. And tell me this, Don, do you on a fourth and short in overtime, do you punt the ball back to Patrick Mahomes?
I know.
I don't
right?
know if you do that. I feel like you got to take the risk. You can't give the ball back to Mahomes. I don't care what they've been like that day. At some point, they're going to get you. And they did. So it wasn't pretty, but they get it done. 23-20 KC over LA. And Don, of course, the doozy last night, as we predicted, Seattle 35-30 over New England. It was like a Super Bowl ending, though. It was like the New England-Seattle Super Bowl in reverse. New England coming down the field at the end of the game. And I will tell you, Cam moved them down the field methodically. They got lucky with a couple of penalties, but they get an opportunity. Cam for the day, 30 of 44, 397, a touchdown and an interception, 11 carries, 47 yards, two touchdowns. But on the final play of the game, he gets stuffed on the draw and Seattle gets the big win. Tough day for New England. James White's parents were in a terrible car accident. He lost one of his parents. One was in critical condition. So really, really a sad circumstance going into that game for the Patriots. And we certainly send our love and well wishes out to James White. But, man, Don, that was – you're watching that game, and it's like not the two teams you would have been thinking about as a Super Bowl team. And certainly we know the Patriots are a long way away. We don't know what they are. But when I was watching them, I could envision this being sort of the number two or number three Super Bowl scenario.
It's, I mean, that conference is just so lit, right? I mean, think about it. The Pittsburgh looks like they're a really good football team. Ravens are a very good football team.
Very.
Very good, all right? And then, you know, Kansas City's outstanding.
Absolutely. And then Buffalo's very good.
Buffalo's good, too. So, but now you look at... Houston's going to take a step back. I don't really believe in Indianapolis. Jacksonville, no. So there's going to be a playoff spot for New England.
No, if New England just does what they do and gets to their 10-6, 11-5, they're going to get in. And once they're in, who knows?
And then allegations of tanking when four guys all opted out. And
not so,
you know,
much.
What's Cam going to do? And listen, but I think we all felt that if Cam could be anything close to what he was, then the Patriots can be a very competitive team, if not a playoff team. Well, so far in the first 2 weeks, it looks like all's good with Cam. And now you just trust the coach. And they'll figure out a way. I still think Buffalo could win that division. It'll be very interesting when they play each other. Because... we'll see if Buffalo, now not being that little engine that could anymore, what they can do in a big spot. But that should
let's
be
hear
very
from the coach, Bill Belichick, on the final play of the game with Cam that didn't work out.
About what you would think it would be. We had one play to score, and we tried to go with what we thought was our best play. What else is there to think about?
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't describe that as their best play, would you?
No, it didn't turn out that way. But that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.